Hey, peeps, just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beetle shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beetles and his guests. Robert Beetles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of TradingView Sessions, Crypto Beetles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beetles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. And one last thing before we get into this, please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. All right, so now that that's out of the way, let's get into this. What is going on, crypto family? So today we've got Sean Barger with us, the founder and CEO of CPU Coin. So great to have you on, man. Appreciate you making time for us.
Same here. Thanks, Robert.
Awesome. So what I like to do, you know, before we really start talking about the projects is just kind of get to know the founder a little bit more behind the project. So if you could, you know, just kind of tell us a little about yourself, some of your past experiences, how you got into blockchain, what you do for fun, all that kind of stuff.
Great. Well, first of all, my name is Sean Barger, and I'm actually based here in the Bay Area. I have a lot of fun with music and playing my drums, and I'm in a band, and, you know, just really, you know, trying to be as creative as I can on my off time. I have two beautiful children and a wife right here in the Bay Area in Northern California. And I got into blockchain about maybe about 18 months ago when I saw everyone doing ICOs. And I have another company called Equilibrium, which we were going out for a Series B round. And I said, you know, why go do venture capital when there's this incredible opportunity in the blockchain to really innovate in new ways? And that's really where this is all born.
Gotcha. So from going from a Series A, you realize that, hey, there's a better way you can crowdfund via tokens and not have to go the traditional route.
Yeah, I think it's also because of the project that we're doing, in particular, CPU Coin, really does need to run an autonomous network with a currency that we don't control. And so therefore, we really had to, you know, we struggled for how else to do this other than be a blockchain project and a new currency. So, you know, that's where CPU Coin was born, and is why we're, you know, we're all full speed ahead.
So I guess, you know, how did you get involved in blockchain itself? Because, I mean, you say that you know, you kind of got into the space around the ICO era. What were you doing before this? What really opened your eyes up to blockchain other than just the way to, you know, to raise funds? Maybe you talk about your experience, like maybe your education, you know, past jobs, you know, tech, all that kind of stuff. And also what kind of music that you play in your
band? Yeah, well, we do a lot of, you know, kind of old rock standards, you know, Zeppelin, Floyd, you know, Supertramp. You know, I'm working on a set for the Sweetwater that's coming up in September. So I actually have to go to a practice today to do that. So I just really love jamming and rocking out. I've been playing drums for 20 years now, and it's just a hobby and passion of mine. As far as, you know, getting into blockchain and cryptocurrency in general, I did a lot of thinking about it, and I said, you know, there's I've been through a lot of rounds of financing in my life, and I said, you know, in what better way to kind of democratize funding than to allow people to, you know, be involved in a fractional way, very quickly and easily, low risk, you know, high liquidity. So I looked at that and I said, okay, but, you know, what is, you know, the history that I went through to get here that ties into that? And effectively, you know, I started in design back in 1987 as the first producer at Spectrum Holobyte and did Tetris. And, you know, since then, you know, you've seen, you know, 50 versions of Tetris come out from, you know, everywhere from the PCs that I did to now, you know, there's Tetris 99 on the new Nintendo box. It's super, super popular. So, you know, the games background, then moving into, you know, Debabilizer, which is a batch processing tool, which we had, you know, sold over 500,000 copies of that. And then, you know, going through all the machinations of being a kind of a bootstrap company, and then effectively inventing dynamic imaging with Meteor Server, which we at Equilibrium, we currently power some of the largest websites and B2B portals in the world. So it went through that kind of historical growth to inventing next generation dynamic imaging and auto assembly of video and batch processing and transcoding. So we, the ability to kind of go through that, those transformations and then innovate in all those areas, you know, kind of led us to, okay, how can we innovate in a network perspective? Right? How do we make it so that it's easier for people to adopt and use our technology and not have to have the large expense of AWS and Azure? Even as a smaller company, it's almost prohibitive. A lot of companies get huge bills with AWS and Azure. So that's kind of the progression I went through from, you know, games to batch processing to dynamic imaging. And if you've ever seen ETL websites, right, with images on them, you've got, you know, millions of images. We made it so you don't have to manage or track all those renditions, right? It just automatically does it for you, right, with MediaRich Server. And so that is our first decentralized service. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we get into
it. Yeah, I want to hear more about Tetris. So what part of, I used to play that as a kid, man. So what part of that did you guys actually create?
Yeah, so I'm actually, I have the designer credit for the original version of Tetris. That was my first job in California. And Gruder Bund said no, Electronic Arts said no, a whole bunch of the Activision said no, all these bigger companies passed at the time. And Spectrum Holobyte gave it to me, said, do you want to produce this? This would be your first title. I said, well, what is it? And said, well, you check it out. They took it home for the weekend. And at the time, it was a Microsoft basic game by a guy named Alexei Pajitnov from Russia. And it was very basic. Literally, it was Microsoft basic. And then when I brought it back, you know, the Monday after, I said, look, this is super addicting. I couldn't stop playing it. It's going to be a big hit, I think, you know, but what do I know? And they said, okay, we're going to get the option. So yeah, I mean, I did the US versions of Commodore 64, Apple II Plus, you know, Mac, you know, all the old original PCs, right? And it just goes to show you, it ended up becoming a full 50% of their revenue and now is one of the largest selling games of all time. Unfortunately, it was my first job, so I have no royalties on that deal. But
that's still some pretty good street credit, you know. And I imagine Activision and all the people that passed on it are probably kicking themselves in the butt right now, you know.
And I can tell you all kinds of war stories with that, like the fact that when the Nintendo Game Boy came out with, you know, launched with Tetris on it, right? We thought we had the rights for cartridges, but we didn't. Hmm. And I wasn't involved in the licensing side of it, but at the time, cartridge machines were new, right? They were relatively new phenomenon. And so when they licensed it, they thought they had worldwide rights to everything. No, they only had worldwide rights to PC. So they had the biggest franchise ever. They lost the, you know, the bigger opportunity, unfortunately. But
yeah, the devil is definitely in the details, right? You got to read that fine print.
Awesome,
man. So with CPU coin, I mean, what are some of the problems you guys are trying to solve right now? Kind of tell us a little bit about it.
Well, effectively, we looked at this as really, it's a green problem, first of all and foremost. There's over, at any given moment, there's over 700 million computers, PCs, mobile devices that are turned on and literally doing nothing, right? So our, just, you know, there's billions of machines out there, obviously, but 70% of them, or 30 to 40% of them, amounting to about 700 million machines at any given moment are available for doing work, productive work. So we said, okay, when I first went after this problem, I said, okay, what we need to do is make a way that allows us to grow the server side, like everyone's doing with decentralizing apps. Well, how do you create the server side that allows you to make requests for scientific AI, dynamic imaging, for hosting of content, for delivering of assets, and make a sharing economy with that CPU power. And so effectively, we went off and the first thing I did was hire as one of our founding partners, a guy named DJ Jennings, who you may have met in the past, but he was one of the first 35 employees at NetSuite. Effectively was one of the core engineers behind NetSuite, which, as you know, is a big hit, 7,000 employees. They've got 40,000 companies that have adopted that software on a global scale. So I needed the right guy to kind of take my vision and turn it into reality. And he created a beautiful white paper on our website, cpucoin.com. Crypto.io. And we have a one pager and explainer video on there. And it's been about, you know, a long process to get here, but we're really excited where we are, which is that we just announced the mainnet or the test network last week.
That's nice, man. So as far as the problems you guys are really, you know, focused in on right now is trying to, I guess, put unused, CPU and GPU power to use, right? So that way people can start using it to, you know, maybe cure cancer, right? You know, you can just basically take all the, you know, all the computing power out there that's not being used and use it to do all kinds of different things that you would normally use like AWS or something else like that for.
So we're looking at it as two fold. One is the ability to create a sharing economy, which is what we're doing first. So anybody can install a miner and become a miner, the D-Service platform. They install it on their machine and then they're making money. Okay, that's the first thing. They're making money by allowing us to send requests to that machine and process content and then deliver it somewhere else or back to where it needs to go. Okay. And then you can be a developer and you can launch your service and it auto scales on the network. So right now we have a test net with just, you know, six miners on it, but it's delivering, you know, it bursts to 5,000 requests per second for on just six generators. The first service is the Meteor Rich D service, which is for dynamic imaging and for automatically processing video content, for example, with APIs, like other cloud services that are out there. Effectively, we actually have the issued patents on that for dynamic imaging, where you want to take something, transform it, and process it and deliver it, okay? Or you want to add an annotation window, or you want to embed it on a website and have it be served up. So that's the first D service. The problems that we want to solve are basically any kind of a universal system for any image, any application that currently is being served up in AWS or Docker, for example, can be automatically scaled on our network. So we've created a whole tiered system to manage the deployment and the onboarding of different services.
Interesting. So I guess what's some of the major benefits, you know, from using this versus like AWS or something like that, you know, using their instance? And when you say you get paid, you know, to mine this, I assume this is all, you know, over Ethereum. So these are going to be on the Ethereum network, Ethereum tokens, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, initially it's an ERC-20 token. We actually saw there was a missing vesting token. So we created our own vesting token for the exchange raises, et cetera. When we launch our mainnet, we do expect to finalize on one of the enterprise blockchains, or possibly create our own. But at this point, we're looking at a number of different potential third party partners for that.
Yeah, I think we got enough blockchains out to us. Like everybody wants to create their own blockchain. It's like, hey, you know, it's testing and troubleshooting goes into one of those blockchains. Sure. You launch your own. You know, Ethereum has been tried and tested for, you know, since like what, 15, something like that, 13. So that's a lot of man hours trying to break that. You know, if you launch your own, God only knows what could happen, right? So
There are some needs for enterprise wallet management to be able to automatically pay the different constituencies, and also we even have an element in the wallet to automatically reserve 5% from every transaction, and then donate it at the end of the year to people who are looking for CPU power.
Okay. So then, you know, as far as, you know, basically putting you against, you know, like AWS, what do you think the cost savings would be for the average user or, you know, maybe the income, you know, for somebody putting their, you know, computer to work?
Right. So effectively, we've published, you can see it on our website and in our white paper, what one CPU coin will buy. And it's the equivalent of a certain amount of CPU, GPU power and bandwidth. Of €1 worth of AWS on demand, or 4.5 euros worth of AWS Lambda. However, because we're doing pay as you go and a sharing economy, we're expecting to be a full 80% less. So therefore, we're going to provide a 5 basically a 5 times more efficient network for enterprise class content delivery. We also don't expect to compete per se. We believe that there are millions and millions of machines on AWS and Azure network that literally have nothing to do. They're either stage boxes or failover machines that need something else to do. And so therefore, we're looking at ourselves as the solar company, if you will, for their CPU power. You install our D-Services platform, and we reduce your bill.
I like it. So basically, if you got a computer that's not doing anything, put it to work, make some money, and you know, you can actually save money too if you're using, you know, services like AWS. So
exactly. Good stuff, man. That's the plan.
Like it. So you got your test net that's out now. People can start playing with that a little bit. You said you got 6 miners on it. And then when do you think this will be live, you know, just in general for people to start really using?
Yeah. So we're expecting that in the next couple of weeks, we're going to enable anybody to install the and become a miner. And then that will be kind of a test miner release. What's kind of cool about that, and I don't know if I can share something on the screen there with you, but with the CGN test network is now, you can actually see it handling processing on the generators, and there's an actual running decentralized app. So the first decentralized app is something called Media Rich Publisher that allows you to upload content, share it, embed it, and it just gives you an example of kind of in a public forum how we can ingest content and embed and share it anywhere. As it's just one example of a decentralized app built on the CGN. What we expect with a number of deals that we've done, we have 2 actually deals that we did at Consensus that we haven't announced yet, there's 2 partnerships, one with a wallet software company that's going to be turning us on. And then they will be able to select what currency they want to earn. So it's very easy. They just turn it on, select the currency they want to earn, and it's just earning with their CPU power whenever their machine is in sleep mode or whenever they've scheduled it. Like it's kind of like BitTorrent, but for doing real world work for enterprises, right? The other partnership is with an enterprise company that has enterprise class machines, and they have about 15,000 compute cores available for kind of enterprise class processing of content. And again, both of those deals will happen between now and the mainnet launch, which will occur at the end of the year.
Awesome, man. And then just to, quickly ask you a couple more personal questions and get you on your way. So what's maybe your favorite book that you recommend other people to read, something that's kind of maybe changed your life a little bit that you think others could get value from as well?
Honestly, I have very little time to read. I know it sounds crazy. I'm being upfront with you. Most of what I do is I study what's going on in the world in crypto. I study what's going on in the world in enterprise services, and I'm really focused on this this project right now. I would say that for me, what's changing my world is I'm actually in the middle of doing a whole series from drum lessons from Tommy Igoe. So whenever I have a chance to read, I go read and play and practice and do all these different beats. So to me, it's just it's kind of like how I stay sane, right?
Yeah, no, we all do. Yeah, exactly, man. We all need, our something, man, to get our mind off things. So, favorite movie, man? So you don't read except drama books, which is awesome. But what's maybe your favorite movie?
Well, my favorite movie, I'm a big. I love the Marvel stuff. The most recent one was amazing. Personally, I cannot wait for I know it's going to sound crazy, but I cannot wait for the new Aladdin. We're going to see this weekend as a family. It's my favorite Disney cartoon. And so we're going to see the live action this weekend.
Love it, man. Yeah. Will Smith is the genie.
That's going to be perfect.
And then, I guess maybe a couple more questions. If you could change anything in the world, what would it be? It could be something from the past, something in the future. It could be blockchain. It could be regulation, anything you want.
Well, okay. It's going to sound a little radical, but I have 2 books I want to write. One might become a TED talk, but the first thing is it's about bootstrapping in America in general. I actually think that we could be accelerating, all things that are high tech, that are good for the world, if people weren't focused on free money. So I have a whole presentation that I want to do about why if people would stop focusing on guaranteed returns and wanting to get more money and just keep on accruing it, would change the world, right? Because if you think about it, if 90% of all investment is about getting more free money or getting interest or getting, you end up with what you have, which is banks and mostly all the equity funds and all they're trying to do is get free money. So the fact is, all of them should stop, take 10% and start investing in entrepreneurship. If that happened, the world would change so fast and make your head spin. It's a big problem. I mean, trillions of dollars would go into investing in true entrepreneurship, which is now most entrepreneurs are constantly banging their head against their wall, struggling while everyone's trying to make the next free dollar this weekend. The other thing is, my TED talk's going to start with, the United States, is the United States bankrupt? Is cryptocurrency stronger than fiat currency? Right? $22 trillion is $780 billion a year in debt service. How do you dig out of that? Right? So, and what is stronger? Is it a fiat currency that has really nothing backing it other than the good faith and credit of the United States? Or is it a decentralized currency that doesn't have any head to chop off? Right? And I actually believe that cryptocurrency is the future personally, and that everything's faster and long term will be much better for society in general. I have noticed that the real community in cryptocurrency are their huggers and their caring people. It's really interesting. I don't know if you've noticed that whole wave out there where everything's becoming decentralized and everyone's kind of helping each other. I think it's a fascinating change that's happening, and I really believe in it big time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you look at the people that are out there right now, a lot of them are in it for the right reasons, just like they were, the initial founders, the initial people that came into the space in the beginning, they were there for the right reason.
Right.
And during, the craziness of the ICOs and, the volatility going, parabolic, you had all kinds of, con men and people like that coming into the space just trying to make some money. And so it's definitely, a little bit more back to the roots. People are more back into helping each other, helping, bring real value and technology to the space. So it's definitely a more caring environment, as far as decentralized, method of payment or cryptocurrency that the government would embrace. I would love to think that, but I can't imagine that would ever happen. That would mean that they would give up their control and they wouldn't be able to, print as much as they want, right? So that's, we would always hope that Bitcoin would be that currency, right? But just like with fiat, they print as much as they want. And if they control the crypto, then they'll just, do whatever they do with fiat with the crypto. So worries me a little bit. What about you personally, man? What's the craziest thing that you've ever done, that's not going to get you landed in jail by, saying it on the video here?
Oh, the craziest thing I've ever done. Wow, that's a tough one. I've been probably sliding down the side of a Swiss Alp.
Sliding down, not naked,
literally you get on your jacket and you just slide down the Alp. I mean, you're literally on a jacket sliding down the Alp with nothing else but your jacket. But I mean, I don't know if that doesn't sound too crazy, I guess, but it was pretty steep. It's one of these deals.
That could be pretty crazy. I mean, especially if your jacket, starts giving away halfway down the hill or something like that. It'll start tearing into you pretty quick. Cool, man. Is there anything else that you want people to know about yourself or CPU Coin before I let you go?
Well, I just would say that, I would just say about the team in general, we have an incredible team. And DJ, before he did NetSuite, he did Flash. He did Shockwave and then Flash. And he's an incredible engineer, architect, and now CTO. And if you're looking for projects to be involved with, we're doing a lot of partnerships. And we really believe there's a lot of every time I pitch at different shows, I get a lot of projects come to me and say, when are you going to become available? My AWS bill is just killing us, right? And really, it's all about excess capacity and the secondary market for AWS and Azure. I think they're all going to need it. And there's a lot of excess capacity out there right now, proven over and over again. So, and also our product manager, Oliver Jensen, who used to be at PwC, who's been fantastic throughout this process, is also one of the founding members of CPU Coin. And, you know, after our next round here, we're going to be hiring. So make sure to give us a call and keep in contact.
Awesome, man. Well, I'll make sure to get the website out there for you so people can, you know, find you and learn more. Yeah. Make sure you keep us posted on everything. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about yourself as well as CPU Coin, man. And that's pretty awesome about Tetris, too. So
Yeah. All right.
All right. God bless.
Get you on the next one. How's it going? Thanks, Bob.
Hey peeps, just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beetle shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beetles and his guests. Robert Beetles is a co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of TradingView Sessions, Crypto Beetles on YouTube, and owns several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beetles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. And one last thing before we get into this, please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the family. All right, so now that that's out of the way, let's get into this.